From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of January 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll explore crop budgets for the state of Illinois. Nick Paulson should be here. We'll talk about what's been happening in the agricultural energies with Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services. And we'll discuss the marketplace, of course. We'll do that with Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net. We'll also hear from Don Day today of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I'm traveling today with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits in Mount Vernon today, Peoria tomorrow, and DeKalb on Thursday. I'll give you more information in just a bit, but do know that we're planning to start on time at each of those next two meetings in Peoria and DeKalb. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at AgMarket.net in New Market, Indiana. We're talking in the 11 o'clock hour, about halfway through, Wayne. Just so folks know that you and I are discussing the marketplace early, but it doesn't appear that the market's got a lot going on. What's taking place today?
Well, a little bit of a turnaround Tuesday after a really disappointing Monday. Todd, you know, right now we were up when I came in this morning. We were down for a little while, and we've popped back up, and we're 2 to 3 higher in the corn as we speak. You know, we got back above $4 here in the December corn. You know, the March corn's at $4.58. You know, so that's a lot off the low of 451 and three quarters. So we have popped back off our lows fairly good here. Beans basically in the green, but only by a penny or two, and wheat back up 11 to 12 cents. Looks like France is going to get the wheat tender put out by Egypt, or they seem to be the lowest bid out there right now. So that's nice to see not going just to Russia on the wheat, and maybe other people can be competitive and we might have a chance down the road. Tomorrow, the big thing is going to be we're going to get the numbers out of South America, you know, and looking and seeing what Argentina and Brazil and what they're projecting their crops are going to be to give us a little indication of to what they're thinking as to what the government's going to put out on Friday, Todd.
Yeah, I will try to get those numbers up on the willag.org website, the CONAB figures. They will be in the USDA tab along with the USDA numbers, speaking of which, those will be updated on Friday of this week. Some poll numbers have begun to come out. Is there anything that you've seen from the trade that you've found of interest and that might move the marketplace?
Well, you know, we're thinking if it comes in under a 2 billion bushel carryout on the corn, that it could be positive. And I think AgMarket.net is coming in there just a tad below that. So maybe a little bit of hope from our group is looking ahead to say, hey, maybe we're getting down, you know, to where it isn't quite as burdensome, and we could see a little rally coming along if we can see some weather problems pop up in the U.S. also.
From your perspective, fundamentally, or in the charts, what's most of interest at this point?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, the charts have been terribly ugly, Todd. You know, I'm not a real chart person like Dan Zwicker or somebody like that, but, you know, we're getting a little bit heavy and overloaded on the negative side here as we look at things, and it does look like if we can get some numbers that aren't too devastating here, that maybe it's time to see a little bit of a rebound just from an oversold condition.
Is there a lot of hope or a little hope for producers who are holding on to both corn, maybe some soybeans, that they might see, and they'd like a 30-cent rally, probably more than that, but something that would give them an opportunity to make a cash sale?
Yeah, the 30-cent rally isn't in my crystal ball, but I think that we can possibly, if we would see the USDA and South American production, if they would chop down a little bit to where, you know, after we talked to Michael Cordonnier last week, if they'd make the cuts that he's hoping for, I think there'd be a chance for a, you know, 10 to 15 cent rally here, probably not the 25 to 30 cent, but, you know, if you get the funds turned around and moving, it can move awful fast. You know, one of the guys said that we're going to do some corrections to past reports at this time also. And if there'd be some numbers in there that sort of kicked out and come through, it might help for a little more on a reaction by the AI and the algorithmic funds when they're looking at the numbers as they come out on Friday at noon.
Hey, thanks much.
Great. Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He is with agmarket.net. Well, as you know, I'm traveling this week with the Farm Doc team for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits today in Mount Vernon. Tomorrow we'll be in Peoria and then in DeKalb. For those who are worried, yes, we're planning to be there and we will start on time. So our programs are still in place as of noon today. You can always update yourself on what's happening at willag.org. There's a little segment there at the top of the page that tells you if we've made any changes. I do not expect that will be the case. Nick Paulson, of course, is traveling with us. He's an agricultural economist and has put together budgets for the 2024 growing season. Those are released today on the Farm Doc Daily website. You can find his article at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And he presented them this morning in Mount Vernon to the crowd gathered for the Illinois Farm Economic Summit. Hi, Nick. Thank you for taking some time with me out of this busy morning schedule. The 2024 growing season budgets do not look particularly good. You have them for Southern Illinois, Northern Illinois, and of course Central Illinois. I want to talk a little bit about the Southern Illinois numbers to begin with, and then we'll break down what's happening based in the middle of the state. But the corn figures in Southern Illinois, both for 2023, now that we have more numbers, and 2024, are not very, very good. In fact, they show the largest losses that we possibly can at this point in the state, whether it's in the northern or the central part of the state.
Well, so when we compare Southern Illinois to Central and Northern Illinois, on the revenue side, the big difference is the difference in productivity. So we have lower gross revenue numbers when you take that yield and price calculation. And then on the cost side, production costs are lower in Southern Illinois, but they're not the reduction in production costs that we see historically and then in our projections are not that much lower relative to Central Illinois compared with how much the yields are different across those two regions. So we end up with our 2024 budgets projecting more negative corn returns for Southern Illinois, basically because of that revenue and production cost differential.
Those returns are a negative 169 per acre for the 2023 growing season as projected and $160 per acre for 2024 as projected. When you turn to Northern Illinois and Southern and Central Illinois, losses aren't as great. We'll take up those Central Illinois numbers more in detail. $144 loss on corn for this marketing year. And $154 in the way of a loss for the coming marketing year. Farmers are not going to like to see those numbers. When you build out the crop budgets, what is it that brings you to that set of numbers for corn and what changed from the profits they've had?
Well, I mean, the biggest part of the storyline, I think, obviously, is the decline in corn and soybean prices. And we originally released budgets back in August, and the picture wasn't super positive in August either, but at that point, kind of price expectations were higher than what we've experienced throughout the fall and into the winter here. And so we've revised those corn and soybean prices down. So for 2023, we're looking at a 480 price. That's a slight adjustment down from what we had in August. And then the larger adjustment down to 450 for the 2024 corn price. Soybeans, it's a similar story. 1290 price for 2023, and then the big adjustment down for 2024 to 1150. And those are just the prices that all the market indicators are telling us would be in place for that 2024 marketing year pricing opportunities. Pretty consistent with where we see fall bids right now. Pretty consistent with where we see forward futures for the 2024 marketing year, whether that's selling at harvest or storing and waiting and selling in the spring of 25. And so that's just sort of where the price picture is at. Obviously, a lot of things can change between now and once we actually get into planting and the growing season. And then kind of the other side of the story, big picture here is that we've got production costs that increased significantly with the high returns that we had in 2020, 2021, 2022. And historically, those production costs are pretty sticky. And while they adjust pretty quickly within a year or so, as returns move up with high prices, adjustments down don't tend to happen to the extent in terms of, you know, dollars, and they don't happen as quickly. We tend to see a lag, even a longer lag in adjustments down in those costs. So we're just looking at, you know, costs that we reached when corn was in the six plus dollar range, beans were in the $14 range. We're seeing those cost levels stick around even though we've got lower prices.
And finally, when folks are looking at the crop budgets, it's probably important for them to understand that these are based on what would be cash rent kinds of numbers, and they differ if you're a crop share or owned on the properties.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, those negative farmer returns that are showing up in our budgets do assume cash rented acres at average cash rents. There's a lot of caveats to add to these. I mean, these are averages. Obviously, there will be farms that have lower cost structures, but also farms that have higher cost structures than what we see in these averages. You know, the other point I would make, and the land rent situation is a big one. Own land, you're going to be looking at lower but positive returns. Share rent, you're probably looking at closer to zero margin farmer return. Same with a variable cash lease, and then the cash rents, we have those negative numbers. But beyond that, I think the other big item that could enter into these budgets that improve what we're seeing here is we have built in no government payment support. Price levels don't really justify building in an expectation for ARC or PLC payments. On the crop insurance side of things, we don't know what the projected price even will be for 2024 yet. And if we assume trend yields and prices where they're at now, you know, there won't be extensive crop insurance payments. But we could see ad hoc support, especially going into election year. We've had programs like the Emergency Relief Program in the past few years. There would need to be some legislative or administrative actions taken to make those payments be triggered, but certainly not out of the realm of possibility given some of the red numbers we're looking at for returns.
Thank you much, Nick.
Thank you.
That's Nick Paulson. He is an agricultural economist with the Farm Doc team, the University of Illinois College of ACES, and on the road with me this week. Today in Mount Vernon, tomorrow we'll be in Peoria, and in DeKalb on Thursday. You can find the details online at willag.org. Our doors open at the events at 7:45. We should pick up and start around 8:15 a.m. Registration is closed online, but you can come and walk in if you'd like, and then we'll get you registered at each of those. Let's check now the agricultural energy. Stephen Platt joins us from Archer Financial Services. Hi, Steve. Thank you for being with us. The price of crude oil has been sneaking downward. Can you tell me about that process and fundamentally what's been behind it?
I think for the most part, right now, my position is we're almost in a happy place. The market appears to be near equilibrium in this $72, $76 range. It's been torn by a lot of opposing forces, and we've seen that in terms of volatility in the market. On the bullish side, regional tension in the Mideast has ramped up, certainly. Israeli statements suggesting that they will not back down through 24 continues to provide an underlying risk premium to the market. OPEC actions, on the other hand, to cut production to support prices, continue to be looked at rather skeptically as non-OPEC countries take market share. And that has been a problem in the past. And with the U.S. production hitting a record here recently, Brazil, Guyana, even Canada have all seen pretty good increases in their production levels. It's cutting into the OPEC share, which has fallen to levels not really seen since 2020. So we do have these opposing forces. Better supply availability has been apparent. as well, particularly for Asia, where stocks have built, and Saudi Arabia, due to slow demand linked to competition from other producers, such as Iran, have dramatically reduced their asking prices or official selling prices to Asia here just this past week, which has led them to levels not seen since 21. China remains a key question mark. EV sales are accelerating and export growth has continued to slow as importing countries from China attempt to source their own production domestically, hurting their economic growth, on which the oil market depends tremendously, because they have been the primary mover of growth in oil demand over the past decade, and that has certainly slowed. The slowing in growth, along with uncertainty with respect to economics in Europe, suggests stocks will probably be building here over the next half year. Limiting downside remains those events in the Mideast and whether the crisis actually draws in Iran in terms of limiting supply availability from that quarter. This has generally seen from Iran here recently increased shipments, which have competed with other OPEC producers. They're not a party to the production cuts because of the sanctions they're under, but they have been able to evade the sanctions and export increasing quantities of oil to India. Key to the outlook will remain these inventory levels, with recent builds in U.S. product stocks offsetting the decline in crude. Tomorrow, we get another report. They're looking for big builds in product stocks once again, and a decline in crude, which was a key feature of last week's report. We'll see how that affects prices. But my general inclination here is that the market is going to be pretty much in a trading range for now until we sort through more definitive patterns in terms of economic growth and events in the Mideast to really give us strong direction. One thing I'm watching is the support, seeing if some support to product margins start to come in. Today, we did see Motiva, which is the largest refiner in the U.S., close down one of their crude units for maintenance here for the next 45 days. And that should help probably provide some support to the margin for products against crude, which is going to be a key thing to watch in terms of inflationary pressures for the underlying products and how that evolves as well.
As it's related to producers, do they need to consider and when laying in diesel supplies for the spring planting season, or at least pricing them?
I think that, you know, I have been looking at that, Todd. The margins are still a little bit high, but as we move into maybe February or so, and if you get some weakness back under 70, and $70 is a big area because of the U.S. buying some crude for the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and questions whether OPEC might come back in. So, you know, we're close to those levels. we're at 70, close to $73 now on crude. The diesel price is currently around $2.64. I like that 250 level if we see it as a potential place to at least start looking at possibly filling up the tanks.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it, Steve.
My pleasure. And to all your listeners, have a happy new year.
That's Stephen Platt. He is with Archer Financial Services. Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming now joins us to take a quick look at the weather forecast. Let's stay in the United States because there is so much happening, Don. Start, I think, maybe where you are. You're traveling today. You're on the Nebraska-Wyoming border?
Yes, I'm in Torrington, Wyoming. Tis the season when we start doing a lot of talks about weather and long-range outlooks to a variety of commodity groups and farmers who are buying time before they're getting ready to go out and go into the next growing season.
Are you having a tough time from getting from one place to the next there? Kind of like we are here.
Well, luckily, a lot of the storminess that's affecting other parts of the U.S. right now kind of went around the Rockies, but our luck runs out this weekend.
And you get a big storm then. What does it look like?
Well, I tell you, the weather pattern across North America has done a complete 180. Previous discussions we've had, we thought the Arctic air, the really cold weather has been on the other side of the hemisphere in Europe, parts of Russia and parts of Asia. And that's how it went for November and most of December. Now it's our turn. And this will be the biggest release of Arctic air into the U.S. That we've seen in the season. And it looks to be extremely impactful, not only with what's occurring now, but there's another storm that's going to go across the nation's midsection this weekend up into New England. And behind that, the doors to the Arctic swing wide open. We could see hard freeze temperatures all the way down to the Gulf Coast of Texas by early to middle of next week. Many parts of the USA are in the heartland are going to be not just a little below zero, but far below zero.
So we'll get a lot of snow, then turn really cold. Does it stay cold, really Arctic cold, for very long?
Well, I tell you, the snow that's getting put down right now and the snow that's going to come with the weekend storm in many areas just makes it easier for that Arctic air to slide out of Canada and settle in and be stubborn. Arctic air is dense. It's harder to move around. So it always sticks around longer than sometimes our forecast suggests. So this is going to be a prolonged cold snap that's got some legs to it. I mean, we could see it go 5-7 days, might have a thaw, but there's indications maybe another outbreak of cold air after the 20th. So buckle in. We're finally getting into our winter pattern.
You buckle in as you're traveling. Thanks much, Don. Don Days with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. Just click and play our programming right there from the website or hit the podcast link there, and you can get yourself set up to listen to us as a podcast in the Closing Market Report Commodity Week in the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy Podcast. The theme music for our program today is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.